Okay. So we're going to open the State Rural Senate Rural Communities and Economic Development Committee. And I guess as we get started, since this is the opening of our new session, we might as well do some introductions. And we also have the rules of the committee to pass. So first we'll do introductions. We'll start over here with Senator Przanski.
Hi, I'm Floyd Przanski. I represent Senate District 4. Senate District 4 includes parts of Lane and Douglas counties. This is my 10th year in the Senate.
Okay.
I'm Jenny Burdick. I represent Senate District 18. I'm the token urbanite on the committee.
I'm Senator Betsy Close. I represent Lynn and Benton County, Senate District 8. And I really enjoy being on this committee because of the issues are so critical, I think, to our state.
And I'm the Chair, Arne Roblin, Senate District 5, which is about two-thirds of the Oregon coast, part of seven counties. Three congressional districts have parts of it. And it's a beautiful place in Oregon to represent. And we have some outstanding staff with us, so we'll let Beth say if she wants to say anything about herself.
Beth Petrino, this session I'm staffing this committee, and House Agriculture and Natural Resources.
And Shelley, who is indispensable.
I've been here since 2011, and I'm also staffing the House Ag and Natural Resources.
Okay. Very good. Well, thank you. And so with that, we have some rules, and I guess I don't have my vice chair here. Senator Przanski, do you want to make a motion?
Yeah. Chair Roblin, I move the adoption of the proposed rules dated February 4th, 2014.
So Senator Przanski moves to adopt the proposed committee rules dated February 4th, 2014. Is there any discussion? I guess before the discussion, I think that was nice to do it. We did it in Judiciary. Some changes to the rules. Do you want to explain the one change that we really have with these new rules?
Are you referring to the amendments?
Yeah,
Mr. Chair, members of the committee. So the new rule is that amendments have to be posted online at least 1 hour prior to action by the committee.
And this is only in the Senate rules. If people who have been here a long time and have done this have realized that sometimes they walk into the meeting, they think they have a bill in front of them, and then all these amendments are listed that they haven't seen yet, and everybody kind of likes, how do I know what's going on if they're going to do that? And I think this is an attempt to say, we really do want to engage the public. We can't engage them completely with a lot of time, but an hour, they can at least read and know what's happening, because some of these bills, they are changed so much in an introduction of an amendment that it's not recognizable as the bill you thought it was before you came into the room. So I think it's a good rule. We're going to wait and see how it works this session, so I appreciate that. Is there any other discussion about the rules? Anyone opposed? Seeing none, it passes. So we now have our rules. So we're going to change the order a little bit because we have some people working feverishly right now. He's back. So we can go with the regular order. That's really good. We put our county commissioners through a lot. One, we ask them to do everything they can and take as much as money as we can away from them. And number two, we get them here and we beat them up and then we use them as much as we can. And they run really quick. I'm really impressed. Commissioner Lapphart. So with that, we will open a public hearing, and we might as well open the work session at the same time, for Senate Bill 1514 on RV fees. So Beth, you want to give us a short explanation? And with that, you can come on up, whoever wants to be the first of the group. So,
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 1514 would increase the percentage of money distributed from the registration of travel trailers, campers, and motorhomes from the Parks and Recreation Department to county parks from 35% to 40% until July 1st, 2015, when the percentage would increase to 45%. There is a fiscal and revenue light statement issued for the purposes of transmitting the bill to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means.
So again, so people understand, there are some bills that have costs associated with them. When they have costs, they go to the Ways and Means process, so they get a whole other hearing. We hope, just vetting the idea of the money, not the substance of the bill, but every once in a while. And so this bill does have that cost, and it will be having a subsequent referral to Ways and Means. So with that, whoever wants to start.
It's no Senator Hugel.
Senator Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, my name is Betsy Johnson. I represent Senate District 16, and I am here largely as a cheering section for this bill. This bill was one that came to the session last time, in the regular session, and had some complicated details that benefited from a very robust process in the interim. Aided by a very adroit facilitator, I think we have come forward with a bill that is very well supported, and we offer it for your consideration today, and others will give the details. I'm just here to say that this was part of an Oregon Solutions / Regional Solutions negotiated process, and we greatly appreciated Eric Lindauer's skillful facilitation to get us to a point where we have state agency folks, county folks, with a largely compromised bill at this point. Not compromised, but a compromise that results in an excellent piece of
legislation. Thank you, Senator.
And we know what she meant.
Okay. Commissioner Labhart, next.
Chair Roblin, members of the committee, my name is Mark Labhart, and I have the privilege of being Tillamook County Commissioner. I've been a commissioner in Tillamook County for 10 years. I'm also today representing Oregon's 36 counties, as the Association of Oregon Counties would like to go on record in support of this bill, Senate Bill 1514. In the way of a quick background, you should have a one-page sheet in front of you that just briefly explains the bill. On July 1st, 2015, the split would revert from the original 30% to counties to 70% to the state, and because of the negotiations and discussions that we've had with the governor's office, state parks, and the counties, we have reached an agreement that the formula would be proposed to be changed. Currently, the counties have 49% of Oregon's combined state and county campsites. The Oregon Parks and Recreation Department does receive ballot measure 76 money lottery funds and perpetuity to finance state parks operations, and the counties did not receive those lottery funds. The Parks Department has been able to, state parks has been able to eliminate about 76% of their backlog, which is huge for the state of Oregon. I mean, that was a really good move by the state to do that, and many of us love state parks, and this is a move them on a pathway to fix up their backlog. But counties face an unprecedented backlog also. We estimate through a survey of our county parks that we have about an $80 million backlog that needs to be fixed in terms of maintenance upgrades to our county park system. So as a result of the Oregon Solutions process that Senator Johnson just mentioned to you, we have agreed in a consensus format that the formula would be modified so that upon passage of the bill, it would go to 60-40, 60% state parks, 40% to counties. And then on July 1, 2015, it would go to 55% state parks and 45% to counties. In the back of the room, I hope you could show your hands, our representatives from various counties that are here today. We have county commissioners and state parks managers that have driven long distances to show their support for this bill. We believe that it is a good compromise, and there's been a lot of hard work put into this bill behind the scenes, in front of the scenes. I think you're going to hear that Parks supports it, the counties support it. This will help tremendously for us to get our backlog fixed. And I assure you that we very much appreciate Parks stepping up to the plate. Lisa has just done an outstanding job of working with us in a collaborative manner to help come with this compromise that we have before you. And I'd be glad to answer any questions when we're done. Brian, do you have anything?
Chair Roblin, members of the committee, my name is Brian Carroll. I'm the Linn County Parks and Recreation Director, and I'm here on behalf of the Oregon Parks Association today to say thank you for your time and for allowing us to be part of this process. The county parks has worked very diligently to try to maintain our local park systems throughout the state, And I think they've done a very good job of trying to be innovative and resourceful. And we have been very pleased to work with Oregon State Parks throughout this process. I've always considered the Oregon State Parks Department to be the flagship Parks and Recreation Department around the state, and the fact that they were willing to step up and be collaborative with us in this process and try to work towards a solution is wonderful to see. We have a lot of work to do in order to implement this bill if we are successful in passing it, but I believe that the people that are in this room will work very hard and do their best to stretch that money as far as we can to have a positive impact on local parks throughout the state. So with that, if you have any questions, I can certainly do my best to answer those.
Melissa.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Chair Roebling, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Lisa Van Landen, the interim director for Oregon Parks and Recreation Department. I don't know how much more I can add to the conversation, but I will. I do want to say I'm here today in support of Senate Bill 1514 in conjunction of the Declaration of Cooperation that was mentioned by all three folks here. Our department recognizes that many of the counties are facing significant challenges in delivering their services, including their park delivery services. I do want to also thank the counties and, in particular, Commissioner Labhart for the good dialogue, and I think we're more excited about the future conversations about looking at the regional coalition collaborations, look at the exact recreation coalitions, to look at ways that we can identify common issues in front of us, secure funding, and deliver better park services for all of our users. And I know that there are questions out there about the impacts to our budget. We appreciate the fact that the counties were willing to compromise a phased-in solution, so the impact will not be so significant in one biennium. I can say that we face very similar problems with our backlog and our increasing costs. So the current biennium, we will work with our legislative fiscal analyst and our BAM analyst to look at, due to prudent spending, help us absorb the $1.1 million budget shortfall this biennium. For 15-17, we'll work with our Parks Commission to look at any other time we'd have a revenue shortfall, we would need to look at how we're going to approach that agency request budget, and we'll look at program reductions, maybe maintenance reductions. We'll have to look at any savings we can recognize. In addition to that, there could also be a potential ask for a fee increase on our side. But we are here in support and committed to the process and excited about the dialogue. So I think that's all of us. If you have questions for any of us, we're happy to answer those.
Any questions? I guess the only one I have is when we were having this conversation last time with this bill, one of the things that came up, and I've heard a little bit about it since then, and that was that there are properties that the state owns and those properties the counties own, which it might be better for the other people to own them because they're in proximity to a park here and whatever. I hope those conversations are still going on. I'm happy they're not part of this because I think that would have made it much more complex. But the idea of using the people who are there to take and help maintain, I think makes a lot of sense, and it makes for more efficiencies and hopefully can help with budgets. I don't know. Is that conversation still happening?
So, Senator Roebling, that was the point where I was trying to drive into the regional coalition. So their properties, for example, if state park staff are driving by three county properties on the way, it would make more sense for us to be maintaining those parks or vice versa. So we need to look at jurisdictions and say, where does it make the most sense to realize those savings and actually capture them? So we've got some pilots going on now, and I think there'll be greater dialogues as we move forward.
Chair Roland, I would echo that. In fact, in Linn County, we're looking at the potential of creating a state park, and in Tillamook County, the same thing. There's opportunities to be more efficient and effective both ways, counties to state, state to county, and we are looking at those, and there's a commitment from the counties and the state to do exactly that, to look statewide at how we can be more efficient and effective.
Any other questions?
No.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Doreen Ferguson from Josephine County, Greg Logan from Douglas County, and we, just so people know, when you come from a long way, we give you options to talk first because you have a long way to return. And so over the 100 miles is Douglas County who's coming, so you can let Greg speak first if you want to. And also Will Tucker from Linn County if they want to come up. That's our next group.
Thank you very much. I'll be brief for the opportunity. I know you're all familiar. I'm Doreen Ferguson, by the way, Josephine County Parks. And I'm pretty excited about the potential that we could have with increased fees. As you know, our county is really struggling, and we do fill a niche that is not filled by the state parks. And our parks are award-winning parks. They're beautiful. Oregon is an amazing state, so we have amazing resources. And our county parks, and particularly our campgrounds, are confused with state parks, or people think they're state parks all the time. So I just wanted to mention that to demonstrate that even though we've gone from 27 people in the field to 4, we are still managing with volunteers and park host programs to keep the parks running. But infrastructure is definitely getting older, and so those are the things that we need to address in order to keep promoting tourism and the importance of the tourism dollars to the entire community, because we do bring in, according to Daryl Olson, who did a study just on salmon fishing and just on the Rogue River. So that's one small component of the tourism dollars that come in. Over $22.5 million are distributed through mom-and-pop businesses, gas stations, hotels, grocery stores, and the services and guides that are in our community. So I think we're a crucial part of the economic health of our county. So thank you for your consideration.
Thank you. Greg?
I'm Greg Logan. I'm in Douglas County. I'm a member of the Douglas County Parks Advisory Board. I'm here to represent our board and our staff and our local community. Douglas County, like being a rural community like our neighbors, has a lot of opportunities to offer the traveling public and the tourism industry. And we find that our RV parks and our campgrounds and our park system are well used, and most of them are full, for our reservations are full all summer long. One of our goals in the next couple of years is to get to be off the general fund and totally self-sufficient, and that's a tough goal to have, but I think we're on a good track to do that. And the way we're doing it is to use a lot of the revenue to pump back into the system to improve our existing sites, and also to create a new park, a new campgrounds in one of our parks. But that means that we have to prioritize, and although I think I feel good about having the opportunity to offer the quantity of spaces to keep our industry going and to support our tourism, I'm a little concerned about the quality of our sites. Like other counties around us and other agencies, we've been deferring our maintenance on the parks, and that greatly concerns me. So we're looking to find more revenue streams, this being certainly one of them, that could help us with that process so that we can offer the quality and to keep people coming to our parks.
Thank you very much, Bill. And Will.
I'm Commissioner Will Tucker from Linn County, and I want to thank you so much for making this be a committee bill. We came before you and pled our case last year, and you set forth this opportunity to have a Oregon consensus group work with us, and it was great. Senator Roblin, you spoke a second ago about the possibility of looking for efficiencies, and to me that's one of the things that comes out of that consensus group, is that group that met understood further that the public doesn't see, especially out-of-state visitors, doesn't see Linn County, or doesn't see Marion County, or doesn't see the state of Oregon. They see, I'm going to an area and I want to look for a park, and they're looking for a park, and we are a system. People need to think of us. We need to be connected together. And out of that consensus group, beyond this bill, support for this bill, there is in fact a couple pilots, but Linn will be one of them, to look at land transfers, and that to me is exciting. But there's also other pilots coming out of there, other conversations that have been difficult to occur, and under the leadership of the acting director, we believe we've got some great opportunities here to tie county parks and state parks into a system look that better reflects how the public searches for us and looks for us. So this bill, Linn County needs it. It means that we can do some things I can't do today because we are self-sufficient. But I look at this as saying that this, again, is the tip of an iceberg, that I think there's efficiencies for state parks. I know there's efficiencies for county parks, and I believe there's more that can happen with links to websites and other things. And I appreciate, again, your taking this on as a Senate committee bill.
Thank you. Any questions for this group? Seeing none, thank you very much for coming here and being here.
Thank you.
Patricia Hoover and Elizabeth Howe are our last two people. Is there anybody else that wanted to speak and didn't sign up? Okay.
Chair Roblin, members of the committee, my name is Elizabeth Howe. I represent the Oregon Recreation and Park Association, a statewide nonprofit of 800 parks and recreation professionals. ORPA provides education for parks and rec professionals and represents the interests of state, county, municipal, and district park and recreation agencies. ORPA is pleased that our partners in the Oregon Parks Association and the Parks and Rec Department have reached a compromise on the allocation of the RV registration fees. We support Senate Bill 1514 and are pleased that our county partners will be receiving more funding for their backlog of facility maintenance, but we also recognize that our partners at the state have a challenge in having their funding reduced both immediately and cumulatively. As a statewide association representing all different kinds of parks agencies, we feel this legislation and the compromise it represents only underscores the need to expand the pie for parks in Oregon, and hope that in the future we can start that conversation on how to do that. We also look forward to participating in the regional coalitions with our OPA and OPRD partners, and just want to put our support on the record. Thanks for your consideration.
Hi, my name is Patricia Hoover. I'm from Eugene, Oregon. I'm currently the chairwoman of the Lane County Parks Advisory Committee. I'm one of the unpaid people here.
Right.
I'm a volunteer citizen member of that committee. And I testified last year on Senate Bill 331, and I have to echo Will. I'm really pleased that you've brought this back as Senate Bill 1514, and I am definitely in support of it and appreciate your time in reopening this process. As a committee member and a park user, lifetime outdoor enthusiast, there's such a need in all of our parks to use any amount of money we can garner to upgrade our parks and take care of them. Deferred maintenance has become a four-letter word. I mean, that's all you hear around parks, whether you're talking county or state. And to add a more equitable balance between the state and county funding through this bill is very welcomed from particularly our county, which is not general fund based for our county parks funding. And I really just thoroughly urge you to please pass this bill, and I'm happy you brought it up again. And it's just a definite need for all the reasons I echo everyone here. We've got local users and we have tourists. The tourist industry is so important to our beautiful state, and all the citizens of our communities love getting out in their parks, and it would be great to have upgrade and updating of some of our facilities. So thank you very much for the chance to speak with you, and I urge your support of this bill.
Any questions? Seeing none. Thank you very much. So we are, we can end the public hearing, but we still have an open work session. So Senator Przanski.
Chair Roblin, I move Senate Bill 1514 to the floor with a due pass recommendation, and that the bill be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference.
Senator Przanski moves Senate Bill 1514 to the floor with a due pass recommendation, and that it be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference. Is there any discussion? I guess my only discussion is I think Ways and Means, Senator Johnson is in Ways and Means, so we'll help her. Just had to slow that in a little bit. But we're hoping that we can make this go and get it all the way through the process this time. And I think we've got a lot of people who worked really hard. And I want to commend the parks, the counties, and everybody for coming together and having the Solutions Project get us to the point we are today. I think that's what government should be doing. And hopefully the people outside will see as we start getting some of these other efficiencies done, recognizing the way that cooperation makes all of us better. And I'm really happy that that's working. So with that, is there any opposition? Seeing none, the bill passes, and we will get that sent off to Ways and Means as quickly as we can. We'll close our work session on 1514, and we're going to open a public hearing on the Salmonberry Trail, Senate Bill 1516. So we'll open a public hearing. Just so people know, there's in the works, and we'll hear a little bit about that, some amendments to this bill, so we will not be working it today. But we think we have consensus on that, so we're feeling pretty good about that, and we'll hear a little bit more about that as we go on. So with that, a short explanation by our administrator, and whoever wants to come first can come on up to the dais.
Mr. Chair, committee members, Senate Bill 1516 would direct the State Parks and Recreation Department and the Forestry Department to work in cooperation with other stakeholders to develop a plan to construct the Salmonberry Trail along the portion of a former railroad line between Banks and Tillamook. The bill lays out what the plan is to address and requires report back to the Legislative Assembly no later than October 1, 2015. We do not have a minimal fiscal on the original bill, no revenue impact. It does have a subsequent referral to Joint Ways and Means.
And we'll check on whether that needs that after.
Mr. Chair, I did check, and okay. They believe it does.
Okay. So we'll go further. Okay. With that, shall we start with Senator Johnson?
No, I'm in a bat cleanup.
Okay. Okay.
Well, good afternoon, Chair Roblin, members of the committee. Beth, my name is Doug Decker. I'm the Oregon State Forester and the Director of the Department of Forestry. MG Devereaux from the Director's Office of State Parks and I are here together today in support of 1516, which directs us to work together with local governments and a growing number of cooperators on establishing an 82-mile-long multi-use trail across the Coast Range following the footprint of the former Port of Tillamook Bay Railroad between Banks and Tillamook. John Potter from State Parks and I were here a couple weeks ago, so I won't go into detail about what the project is. We've given you a one-pager. There's a website. My agency is engaged in the project because the rail line goes right through the middle of the Tillamook State Forest, really all the uplands there in the Coast Range of the Tillamook. Parks is here as the state's lead agency on recreation project planning and development. Really want to just offer some thoughts about the bill itself. Having been involved in major regional projects, I know how helpful it is to build a long-term project on solid footings of legislative intent and authority. And I think really to be effective, the work that we've lined out here is going to have to be carried out over multiple years and multiple legislative sessions and administrations, and I think having clear intent to inform that work just makes it stronger, sends a message that this is an important project for the region, I think the bill does that. So from our standpoint, the Salmonberry project is going to it really has great potential to spur local economic development, to connect urban and rural Oregon across the Coast Range, to address some pretty significant safety and transportation issues on the coast. From my standpoint, to teach people about forests and about forest management, which I think is very important, and it provides great opportunities for outdoor recreation and adventure. We've got some very solid partnerships in place with Tillamook County and the Port of Tillamook Bay. And a steadily increasing list of participants on the Salmonberry Coalition. I've given you the list on the two-pager there, and are ready to support this work. So I'd be pleased to answer any questions you may have. I think MG wants to, both Mark and Senator Johnson have got some thoughts too.
Members of the committee, you know who I am. And the reason I'm...
Please stop to say it for the record.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm Mark Labhart, Tillamook County Commissioner, and also representing the Association of Oregon Counties, so thank you. And the reason I was so frazzled on the other bill is because I was coming back from Legislative Council dealing with a proposed amendment to this bill, so I apologize for rushing back in like that. We support this bill. The counties do support this bill. And Tillamook County, which most of this trail would go through, is a very – all three commissioners strongly support this effort. This has been as I testified before you several times on this bill, as you may recall, but this is one of the few times I've actually I can't find too many people against this concept and this bill. And usually in my realm and your realm, you find people that may or may not like something that's going on. This has pretty strong support. It's a partnership between the Department of Forestry, the Parks Department, Cycle Oregon, the Port of Tillamook Bay, Tillamook County, and the list of other folks that you see here. All seven cities in Tillamook County strongly support this. This is a great opportunity to build a trail from the Oregon coast into the valley, and a trail that it hasn't happened before, a trail from the coast, from the valley to the coast. And I think I mentioned to you before, it would be great to have a trail from Mount Hood all the way to the Oregon coast. You can continue to do forest management in the area. I mean, we have trails right now that run down the Wilson River, and they go through managed forest land, and they go through riparian areas, and they show the breadth of what can happen on the state forest lands and provide recreation opportunities for children, for horsebackers, for bicyclists, for people that want to just walk and see the beautiful Wilson River corridor. This has the potential of being an international destination for folks to come to Oregon and walk this trail or ride this trail. There's already been some work started. The city of Garibaldi is building a water line from the city of Garibaldi north along the railroad right of way adjacent to Highway 101 up to what we call Barview Watsico. It's one of the most dangerous spots on Highway 101. There's been two bicyclists killed riding on Highway 101 because there is no shoulder, there's no right of way there, and this water line will happen to be right in the railroad right of way, and all we got to do is pave over it, and we've got a beginning of the Salmon Berry Rails and Trails project. And so it will start the incentive, the push, to see that we can do good things and we can do this. There's a lot of people behind this project and a lot of people that support the project, and this bill is the beginning of that effort. And I want to thank Doug Decker for his leadership in it, and Lisa and MG for their leadership at State Parks and helping to keep this thing moving. Without these two gentlemen and Lisa keeping this project going, it would be languishing right now. And they've kept the project going because they see the benefits to the state as well as the county. So I would strongly recommend your support for this bill.
Senator Roblin, members of the committee, my name is MG Devereaux, representing the Director's Office for Oregon Parks and Recreation Department. You've already gotten a lot of great information about this project, so in the interest of brevity, I'll simply say that Oregon State Park stands ready to work with partners like ODF and the counties and the other people that you have on your one-pager to make this a successful project that can benefit both recreationists and the communities throughout Washington and Tillamook counties.
Thank you. Chair Roblin and members of the committee, for the record, my name is Betsy Johnson. I represent Senate District 16. You have already heard what an excellent project this is and that we're building coalitions around it. As those groups coalesce, a couple of issues have arisen. We are addressing them as they appear. One of them was an issue with the Oregon Hunters Association, and in a joint letter from both the head of parks and the head of forestry, there was an affirmation that there will be absolutely no attempt to ban hunting in this area. That was of huge concern to people that have traditionally used these forests for that purpose. A concern has arisen recently from private forest lands and state forests, and they will be seeking reassurance by way of an amendment that there is nothing in this particular bill that attempts to supersede current management practices or change management practices. And I just want to reiterate that this bill is merely a bill articulating, as the state forester said, cooperation and laying the foundation for the continued planning work and, frankly, money-raising work. There's going to be a big private sector component. And in no way, shape, or form does this bill attempt to or pretend to involve itself with management practices that are appropriately decided as policy in other venues.
Any questions for this group? Yes.
Senator Thank Paul. You, Mr. Chair. I just want to put on the record, too, my concern is that we this will be a multiple-use area, and Senator Johnson, you've addressed that. I guess I would take it further that, you know, that the group ought to address the yields that we have now under our laws, of course, and that those yields wouldn't be decreased because of the economic impact to the area. you know, I think it's really healthy to have a number of economic possibilities on that land. So would you?
Yeah, Chair Roblin, Senator Close, you bet. So we manage state forests to provide greatest permanent value, social, economic, and environmental. We look at doing this work as, you know, fitting in, not superseding or eliminating or conflicting with. It's actually part of the business of managing state forests is making sure that there's recreation opportunities. I don't see, we have a thoughtful process underway right now. We've been looking at and articulating, you know, issues around fire and public safety, forest management, just the whole range that you would expect us to look at. I do not see conflicts here. We do this, you know, we manage recreation throughout the state forest system.
Thank you very much.
Senator. Thank you, Mr. Chair. This sounds like a really cool trail. I hope you hurry up so that I can take advantage of it before I get too old. But I was curious. I've ridden the Bangs to Brenonia rail to trail. Does this intersect with that, or is this that part, it just intersects?
If I may comment on that, Mr. Chair, Senator Burdick, yes, it does. And I think that's one of the interesting possibilities here is this spider web of trails that can take people in different directions, some into more urbanized, accommodated a variety of different users. You can damn well bet I'm going to make sure it's wheelchair accessible.
Good.
And so we want to make sure that it has multiple users. And as this trail network expands, I think not unlike the Appalachian Trail, this has certainly national, if not international, marketing possibilities to bring people to see the grandeur of Oregon and be able to recreate in a variety of different ways in a variety of different places. And yes, it does intersect.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah, I would add, Mr. Chair, Senator Burke, I'd add that right now we're in a master planning process that is identifying some early catalyst projects. So I think in the coming biennium as we plan and budget for through the public-private partnership Senator Johnson's mentioned, I think that the next step will be what are those key catalyst projects that tie into existing facilities like the Banks Fernonia Linear Trail, like Stubbs Stewart State Park, like some of the traffic and safety issues on the west side of the forest around 101 that we can actually get done in a relatively short period of time. This project's going to take a while, but we want to tie into those existing facilities like Banks Fernonia.
And Mr. Chair, I just so happened to, it's not my usual route, but we kind of got sidetracked with my daughter's photography interest. We were in Lincoln City, and we ended up coming back via the Wilson River, which was just extraordinarily beautiful.
Yeah, it is.
And does this go along there in any part of it?
Chair Roblin, Senator Burdick, no, it's actually the next drainage to the north. The Wilson and then the Salmonberry, and then you're on to 26. So there's actually no, for the transit of the Coast Range, there is no road. It is the railroad. That's the only transit of the Coast Range in this area. But very similar geomorphology, similar fire history and forest type to what you saw in the Wilson.
Senator Roby, Senator Burdick, but you can. There is a trail on the Wilson right now,
right.
Senator.
Great trail.
Yes, my wife and I do it all the time. We can't walk 15 miles, so we park our car in one part of the Wilson Trail, and we park the other car, and then we walk that distance. And so you can actually walk a very nice portion of the Wilson River Trail right now.
And bike, too.
I'm sure Doug would be glad to get you the trail map.
I'm liking this committee more and more.
There you go. And I guess, Mike, the one comment I want to make is that, you know, a lot of people don't know the history of the Tillamook Forest. And this was private land and other land, and then big fire, and county got all the land, and then the county couldn't figure out how to get it all managed and taken care of, so the state forest came in, and we got replanting from kids all over the state came in and replanted this forest. And it is, I think, the perfect example of working together, and here we are working together with the same groups that came together to save that forest. And we have these people, environmentalists and others, that say, wow, this is the greatest forest ever. It's a beautiful forest. And you want to say, and it's a beautiful forest because we managed it. Forestry still manages it. We take care of it. We replant it after a big forest fire, and it's a renewable, wonderful place. And we have, I know that the county commissioners have never had any intention of having one use overtake another use. It's always been about the other stuff. And it's still, in large part, it's a unique part of the state forest system because there is a direct connection to the county. I mean, the county still has, I wouldn't say it's ownership, but there's certainly whatever. I mean, they are connected, and so having the county and the state forestry working together in this project, I think, continues to solidify that really important aspect of this whole forest.
Senator Roblin, well said.
Okay. So, any other questions for these group of people? Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
We had no one else on the list to talk on this one, and I want to just say, we were hoping to move it today. We got some suggestions from a couple other people, as Senator Johnson has explained, and we have a couple amendments to that, which we now have down in LC. We should have it at least an hour before our next meeting on Thursday. So we're going to carry this particular one over to our Thursday agenda with just a work session. So we don't need to have a hearing on it. We'll just have a work session on this bill on Thursday if all the things get done. With that, I will close the work session and the public hearing, on Senate Bill 1516. And I'm going to open a public hearing and possible and a work session. We'll do them both on Senate Bill. Well, just go with the public hearing. We're going to open a public hearing on Senate Bill 1545. And I'm going to hand my gavel. You want to be the gavel?
Sure.
Because I'm going to go testify on this.
Okay.
Do we have some other people who can testify too?
Just one. Amanda.
Oh, good. Come on up, Amanda. We can do it together. And Beth will do a short presentation.
Welcome to the Rural Communities and Economic Development Committee.
Thank you. So, for the record, I'm Senator Arne Rubin from Senate District 5, and we're here today to talk about Senate Bill 1545, which has to do with the Oregon Ocean Science Trust. Last session, we had a suite of bills that had to do with fine-tuning some things with respect to the ocean. One was on making sure that we get stuff. If you're going to put things out in the ocean, you have to be sure that you have enough money to get it out of the ocean when it's out of service, and a number of other bills. And one of them was the Science Trust and formulation of it. Since that time, we've been working to figure out how to make this work better, and we came up with a few suggestions, and we'll let Amanda talk a little bit about those as well. But in trying to get people from around the state who have the expertise necessary to be on a trust to try to bring in resources to start having money to do the research we need on the reserves and actually the areas that are not reserves but our Oregon 3-mile coastal ocean. Two things came to mind fairly quickly. One, if we're really trying to get people from diverse parts of the state to be on this commission, then one of the things we'd taken out was they would not get any reimbursement for travel and stuff. That we found to be difficult for people to commit if they were going to drive 250 miles to a meeting and have to drive back the next day, if we didn't do something to help them with some of those expenses. So we realized that was an oversight, so that's in this bill. We also recognized, and this one came about, I think, in large part, well, partly, we passed a bill last session to start working on the state fair, and in that bill we had one representative for the legislature to oversee non-voting, and all of a sudden people got really upset because who got to it first? The House represented one person, the Senate Courtney wanted to do another one, and they had to figure it out. Finally, they agreed they'd just do two. So they appointed one House member, one Senate member. We had done the same thing on this bill, just one person for oversight, non-voting member. So we came back, since we were doing the other changes, and said, we'll put two, one from the House and one from the Senate, so that we do the same thing. And the issue, we have always felt really strongly about this from the perspective of the legislature. We wanted anything that's going to have a trust, going to take in money from whoever, and then use that money to do Oregon's bidding with respect to information about the Oregon, the city, that it has some legislative oversight. And that oversight, we think, is good from both House and Senate. And I'm excited about the fact that what we've done, I think, makes the bill a better one. And it solidifies the idea that we are going to have oversight, even though non-voting. I really believe that they're going to know what's going on. They can bring that back to senators if we, maybe if they do a good enough job, the legislature will decide that we want to invest some of our own state money as opposed to just outside money into making this thing work. I appreciate all the work that got done last session. I'm excited about this one, and it's been great working with the governor's office and some of our other partners to get this bill to where it is today.
Good afternoon. For the record, my name is Amanda Rich, and I'm representing the Nature Conservancy today, and I'm here to testify in support of Senate Bill 1545. I have very little to add to what Senator Roblin just gave in his very good overview, but just to say that we very much appreciated the privilege of working with Senator Roblin and with other partners in putting this bill together last session. We appreciate the leadership that the legislature showed in passing it. And these two minor adjustments, I think, will put us on a pathway to successfully being able to launch the Ocean Science Trust and get toward the end goal, which is to promote community-based peer review science into our ocean resources. And so we would just respectfully urge your support of this bill, and I'd answer any questions you might have.
Questions? No questions.
Okay.
Thank you very
back.
Much.
Thanks.
So, since there is no one else that wants to testify, I will close the hearing on Senate Bill 1545. And turn the gavel over to Senator Roblin.
Thank you. And I am going to open a work session on Senate Bill 1545.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I move Senate Bill 1545 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Brzezinski moves Senate Bill 1545 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, any opposition? Seeing none, the bill passes. I will carry the bill.
No.
Thank you. I didn't want to push it up on any of you guys. And with that, we'll close our work session on Senate Bill 1545. That concludes the work we have today. Is there any other comments from anyone? I just want to thank our committee for getting all the work done as quickly as whatever we do. I wanted to make sure that we understand that Senator Bertschinger is excused. He's been called away and has done different things. He'll be back for Thursday, and we have a couple of his bills up on Thursday. So with that, thank you very much, and we will adjourn our Senate Committee on Rural Communities and Economic Development. Committee on Rural Communities and Economic Development.